Today is the third week of a series that we're doing called God Never Said That. Those things that we say to each other, trying to be helpful, trying to be encouraging, but things that really aren't true, or really aren't maybe fully accurate, or maybe they say something we don't intend to say. 2 weeks ago, Patty preached a message called Everything Happens for a Reason. And she challenged us, do we really want to continue to say that? Because maybe we're saying something we don't mean. And then last week, she gave a sermon called Love the Sinner, Hate the Sin. Another powerful message about we say things that aren't in Scripture. God didn't say it. Jesus didn't say it. But yet we say it because for some reason it makes sense to us. We've picked it up somewhere. But really, does it say what we think it says? Or does it say something we shouldn't say? And then today is another one. I get the opportunity to preach this third week. And the saying that we have today is, God won't give you more than you can handle. God won't give you more than you can handle. We've probably said that before to somebody. We've probably thought that. We've probably heard that from somebody at one point or another. And we're going to look at that a little more closely today. What does that mean? Are we really saying, when we use that term, are we really saying what we think we're saying? Or are we saying something that maybe is not true? At best, I'd say it's a half-truth, in which all of these kind of are half-truths. There are things that we say with good intention. We want to be helpful. We want to proclaim truth. We want to proclaim God and God's sovereignty and God's love, but yet sometimes we don't always pick the best words. And so I'd like to unpack that a little bit more today. And this particular saying, God won't give you more than you can handle, really we get this from Scripture, but let's take a look at the passage of Scripture and see if this really is what we're saying. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to go to verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Well, isn't that pretty much the same? Isn't that just what we said? God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, there's a couple of subtle differences maybe there that we really need to zero in on. It's saying here, maybe the key word is temptation. Scripture said that places, God does not tempt. But we are tempted, aren't we? Every single one of us are tempted each and every day. And each and every one of us has a choice each and every day. Every time we're tempted, we have a choice to either not live into that temptation or to make a bad choice and step into that temptation. And what the Scripture here says, what Paul's telling us here, is that God doesn't tempt us, but when we are tempted, he will give us a way out. He'll create an opportunity, a door, a window, something that we can give us an opportunity to say no, to turn, to go a different way. And I think if we're all honest, we all would say, yeah, you know, I no one's forcing me to sin. No one's forcing me to give in to temptation. I choose that all on my own. And the verse is talking about the fact that all of us are tempted, but yet God will not let us be tempted without giving us a way to say no, without giving us a way to honor him. It has nothing to do with adversity or hardships or trials or tribulations. Which is, when we say to people, God won't give you more than you can handle, we're talking about difficulty, right? We're talking about difficult things, tragedy or hardship of some sort. But that's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about temptation. Temptation and adversity are two very different things. God, nowhere in Scripture, says, I'm going to keep you from receiving hardship. Or he certainly doesn't say that I'm going to give you hardship or tragedy or difficulty right up to the point where you can't take it, and then I'm going to let off. Doesn't make any sense, does it? The first thing I think we really have to note about this, the first bit of truth that we can cling on to, which puts it in a little bit better perspective, is that really the first few words of that, God won't give us more than we can handle. Well, you know what? God doesn't give us anything to handle. That's not what God does. We live in a world, a very broken, very dangerous, very difficult world. And the world gives us plenty of tragedy, of hardship, of adversity, of conflict. But God doesn't give us that. Right off the bat, that statement makes no sense. God won't give you more than you can handle. God doesn't give us stuff to handle. That's not what God does. The world is full of things that we have to handle, things that cause us trouble. What God does is helps us handle it. Really, a better way to say that, rather than saying God won't give you more than you can handle, is to say God will help you handle whatever you're given. Isn't that a better way to say? God will help you handle whatever you're given in life. Is anybody else going to start using that phrase instead of that other phrase? God won't give you more. God doesn't give us anything to handle. That's not what God does. The world, certainly, there's a lot of difficulty that the world throws our way. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't give it to us. He's not really testing us, as some people might say, might suggest by that phrase. In fact, the word parasmos, which in that passage is the word tempted, we often translate as tested. And somehow we think God does it in order to test us or to do something. And certainly, temptations are a test. We either make a choice to live into it or to step more closely to God. But God doesn't do it to test us. God doesn't do it to tempt us. God doesn't do it to teach us a lesson. He doesn't give us hardship like that. We certainly do learn lessons. We certainly do grow when we experience adversity. But God is not causing that. It goes back to 2 weeks ago when Patty talked about the phrase, everything happens for a reason. Well, everything happens for a reason based on cause and effect, yeah, but God doesn't do it. God's not causing everything that happens in your life to happen. It's the same kind of idea. God doesn't make anything happen to us. God doesn't give us anything for which to handle. And he certainly doesn't give us, you know, adversity and trouble and trials and tribulations and right up to the point where we're about to break and then say, okay, I'll back off now. That's not the way God operates. Stuff happens. We live in a very difficult, challenging world, filled with lots of other people that get to choose whether to make bad choices or not. And often those bad choices cause us harm or cause us difficulty. But God is there to help us through that adversity. He's there to help us with that. And the other part of that, you know, certainly God doesn't give us stuff to handle. But we do have stuff that we have to handle, right? And often, I find that the stuff that I have to deal with in life, the trials, tribulations, troubles, are too much. I can't handle it. So whether God gives it to us or not, to say God won't give you more than you can handle, when all around us people are suffering and they're not able to handle it. Am I the only one? Has anybody else ever experienced a trouble or a trial or a tribulation of which they had no ability to help themselves? You were stuck. I have several. I've shared this before. I have Tourette syndrome. I grew up with Tourette syndrome. I've had it my whole life, and it caused me a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, a lot of anguish growing up. I was bullied in school, all through school. I couldn't speak. I was a nuisance in class. I got in trouble almost every day since the principal's office because the teachers didn't know what Tourette's was. They didn't know how to deal with it. So I got in trouble. And then once I was on medication, I fell asleep in class because the drugs that I was on caused me to fall asleep. So I get into trouble and sent to the principal's office and get detention for that. And I yelled at God. I was mad at God. And I was even more mad at my parents because they couldn't help me either. Yet, God didn't cause that to happen. God didn't give me that so I'd have something to handle, something to deal with. But even though I had that, it allowed God to work through me, to bless me, and to help me, not just to learn from it, not just to get over it or get through it, but to be blessed by it. And I believe I'm a blessing to others because of that experience. God didn't give me that to handle, although it certainly was something that was challenging. But he gave me what I needed to get through it. And he gave me what I needed in the way he does this, through people, the people around me. He brought the right people at the right time to speak a word of wisdom or to give me a needed hug or to just let me vent, whatever it might be. God handles our stuff in amazing ways through the people that we already have around us, through the church, through the body of Christ. And that is the blessing. Life is a challenge. Life is challenging. Life is difficult. Life is full of adversity and danger and stuff that makes no sense to us. Here's a passage from Psalm 42. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As we prayed earlier for this nation, it's easy to wonder why God's doing this. It's easy to ask that question. Why is God doing this? Or at best, why is God allowing this to happen? But as the psalmist would remind us, even when the world falls apart, God is here to lift us up, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to bless us amidst it. God doesn't give us stuff to handle, but he certainly helps us handle the stuff we've been given. Whether it's financial challenges in our own personal lives, or a global financial meltdown, or a political system that is broken, or people who are evil and are filled with hate and want to hurt other people. God helps us. As Austin read from Matthew earlier, his burden is easy and his burden is light. And he calls us to cast our cares upon him. When we do that, when we just trust God, then God can use us in amazing ways. And the peace that we sometimes feel is elusive, or the joy or the hope that we yearn for, is right there. God is so willing and so ready to bless us amidst the trials and tribulations. But we all get to partake of that. And then we all have the blessing and privilege to share that with the world around us. Maybe somebody who's sitting next to you in the pew. Maybe somebody who's sitting in the cubicle next to you at work. Maybe somebody who you really don't like, but you know they need a word of God. And you have that. God is so ready to bless us. And even though the world may be falling apart around us, we are firm on the foundation of Christ. And when we realize that, when we live into that, God is glorified. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you truly are an awesome, amazing God. For you truly hold the whole world in the palm of your hand. We don't understand why things happen. We don't understand what is going on, Lord, but we trust you. And I pray that as we sing our closing hymn and as we gather our things and head back home and into our work week, that you just keep us focused on what you have already done. For you have already conquered evil and you have already conquered death. May we be a voice of proclamation to that truth. Praise in your name. Amen.